Today's thoughts are split into three. And the first part starts with a question. Is today the start of the walk or the finish? Now, I wonder when Christmas finishes for you. Winnie the Pooh, he describes the best moment as that moment just before you're going to get the honey is the best moment. And isn't there a sense of Christmas is a bit like that? That you're all getting ready for it, and then once Christmas morning comes, it's actually you've tasted the honey and Christmas has finished, even though it's just 6:30 on the 25th. Or maybe it's the 27th of December. Maybe that's the finish of Christmas for you. Maybe that's when you went back to work. Maybe that's when you start to see the back of the fridge beyond all the things that aren't normally there. Maybe that's the day you start to take things to the tip. Or maybe it's New Year's Day. Maybe that's the end of Christmas. And I've been interested to look at when people take their Christmas lights down. I actually had a little walk last night to see how many sets of Christmas lights were up on our estate. And there were still 10, I think. I didn't quite get down to your end, but there were 10 people who still got their lights up. Interestingly, 3 of those 10 are church attendees. Now, I don't know about some of the others, but there's an interesting thought there. So, is it New Year's Day? Or does Christmas finish today, on the 6th of January, which is when we celebrate Epiphany? Epiphany is when we, and this is not really my words, these are what I got from the book, when we commemorate the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the person of the Magi. For some, Epiphany is one day. It will be today, finished. But for others, Epiphany is from the 6th of January right through to Ash Wednesday. But it's when we celebrate that Jesus came for all men, for all races, and that his church, although it has different creeds and cultures, is a worldwide church. And in fact, today, if you belong to the Orthodox Church, today is Christmas Eve. And tomorrow is Christmas. And we'll come on to that in a minute. And I was reminded of the hymn, "The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, Is Ended," which has got those words, "The sun that bids us rest is waking our brethren neath the western sky." And you can imagine that the church is always waking up, wherever we are on the globe. It's a worldwide church. The wise men came from the east to worship the newborn king. They were Gentiles, and they came to worship a Jewish king. And in the passage that Carol read to us from Ephesians, Paul speaks about how he would be carrying on speaking to the Gentiles. "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace." That Jesus didn't just come for the Jews, he came for the worldwide church. And we're all members of different class, different creed. The wise men were academics. They had time to watch and study the stars. The shepherds were manual workers, but they still watched the stars because that would have told them what the season was, what was going to happen with the weather. But how about us in South Woodham? I spoke to Mary some time ago, and we were talking about people who'd come into this church over the years from perhaps different countries, and we could think of a few who had. And one of the strengths of the church has been that we've been a broad church of styles and backgrounds and where we've come from and traditions. And even today, we have a range of traditions in our church. And I was hoping this morning to interview two people, or particularly one person from a family, who come and worship with us. But unfortunately, Sam Badia can't be here because Diane's mum is not well. And they've had to go to see her. Some of you may know who Sam is, some of you may not. He's a quiet guy, normally sits at the back. But I was able to ask him some questions, and these are the answers that he gave. Asked Sam what was his background and from as a young person. And he said, as a young person, he belonged to the Coptic Orthodox Church. And he also said, which celebrates Christmas on the 7th of January. He was brought up in Alexandria in Egypt. And so I said to him, well, how was Christmas for you? What did you do differently there? And this is what he said. From the 25th of November, Orthodox Christians fast. This means they eat no meat or dairy food and no fish on Wednesday or Friday. On Christmas Eve, they go to church for Christmas service, which is very long, about 4 to 5 hours. So I hope you've got your lunch with you, because we could be here some time. After the service, the whole family get together for the big Christmas meal to break the fast. They eat meat, fish, sweet foods, everything that's not allowed during the fasting period. Presents are not exchanged, but new clothes are bought especially for the church service. And everyone is encouraged to give as much money as they can to the church so that they can provide for the poor with new clothes and for food for the festivities. Ask Diane how her background was different to Sam's. And Diane said she was brought up in the Church of England. She went to church school, where they had lots of emphasis on the meaning of Christmas. She would go to midnight mass on Christmas Eve. There would be presents on Christmas morning. Lots of family visits. The traditional family dinner. Dinner, more tea, more visiting, more visitors. So I said, well, how do you put those two traditions together as a family, as part of our church family here, but two different Christian traditions? Sam said he would today watch the service from Egypt on the internet, and he'd phone his family in Egypt, but that he fasts from the 25th of November. They don't have the traditional Christmas dinner. They usually have salmon or fish. Diane said, but the children and I do have the usual Christmas goodies, ! She's put, okay? And they do have presents on the 25th of December. So within our church family here, we have a family who have two traditions of the Christmas story, if you like, and the way they celebrate Christmas. The last question I said to Sam was, what would you be the thing that you would want to bring from your Orthodox background into ours to enrich it? He said, Christmas is for giving, not receiving. And we're going to think a little bit about giving and receiving as we go through the rest of the service. The next thing we're going to think about is walking into Bethlehem. In that passage from Matthew, which I guess we've heard lots of different times over lots of different Christmases, this is what it says. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star which they'd seen in the east went before them. And they walked off to Bethlehem and walked in to Bethlehem. Shortly after, Don gave me that little piece of paper that means when he comes towards you with it, means you're going to get a service to take. I attended a service at Holy Trinity Church, which Carol Ball took, which was their 30th celebrations. And something that she said and something that Jane said at the December parade service made me think along perhaps different lines to I would have normally thought at Christmas. Carol Ball spoke about the fact that Holy Trinity Church had been there for 30 years and that ministers had come and gone, but the congregation had remained the core. And Jane spoke not just about the wise men and the kings and the shepherds, but about the cast of the Christmas story. Not just the stars, but the cast as well. And as we thought earlier with the youngsters, the stars, if you like, of the Christmas story, of the Nativity, are the wise men, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And they walked into Bethlehem. But what about the cast, the people who were there already? Now, I'm very loath to add that things that aren't in the Bible, because in Revelation it tells us, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. But equally, David in Psalm 1 talks about us meditating on the word of God. And so I've got some questions that came to mind about the people, the caste, if you like, in Bethlehem. If Joseph was of the house of David, which was in Bethlehem, why was he living in Nazareth? If Joseph had relatives in Bethlehem, why did he go to the inn? Why did he go and stay with Auntie Iris or Granny? Why did Joseph and Mary stay in Bethlehem and not go home after the census? Did they know they were going to stay? Had they decided that maybe, to avoid some of the scandal of a newborn baby, being away from Nazareth might be a good thing? If they knew they were going to stay, did Joseph take his tool bag with him? But who gave him work? Because there must have been carpenters in Bethlehem. How did they clothe Jesus? Jane, the December parade, changed her service. She was going to have a bike come in with all the rigmarole that babies need, including baths and nappies and things. But did Mary and Joseph take some of those things with them? Why did the wise men go to Jerusalem? If they were following the star, why didn't they go straight to Bethlehem? And the other question that came to mind was, did the shepherds go back and see Jesus after that first visit? We don't know the answers. And possibly it's best not to speculate. But what we do know is that the stars, if you like, of the show walked into Bethlehem. And when they did, they had an impact on the rest of the cast. And the rest of the cast had to respond. Today is the first Sunday of 2013. We've walked into 2013. So let's just think about that a little bit. It doesn't matter that Christmas for Sam is at the beginning of the year and Christmas for Diane is at the end of the year. It doesn't matter which end of the year Christmas is. We have to respond to the stars of Christmas. If the innkeeper hadn't responded to an expecting mother and a first-time father at their point of need, Mary and Joseph would not have been able to accept the gift of worship that was made by the shepherds. If we assume that the people of Bethlehem hadn't responded to an unemployed father of a newborn baby, and a young mum who is away from home and away from her family. Mary and Joseph wouldn't have been able to accept the gifts from the wise men. I wonder who will walk into our individual lives and our church life in 2013. Will it be wise men? Men from the East? Men with gifts? Working men? Unemployed people? First time mums? Mums away from mum? Those who want to give and those who want to worship. Those who want to find and those who want to destroy. In 2013, may we be people who enable those with gifts to give and those with needs to receive. Let's just spend a few moments in quiet, asking God to help us to be those people.